Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, with an election expected to be called this week, the Irish Independent reports today that the battle for the grey vote has already begun. Fine Gael are hoping to raise the state pension to €350 a week over the next 5 years, while Fianna Fáil also promises a €12 per year increase for every year that it's in office. Other parties will be unveiling their offerings, no doubt, in the coming weeks. But as the pension age population grows and the generational property gap continues, how prudent is it to promise increases? Well, I'm joined now by Chief Economist with the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, Dr. Eddie Casey. Good morning to you, Dr. Casey.
Good morning.
So how sensible is it to promise guaranteed pension increases over the next 5 years?
Yeah, it's one of the things that we're going to see promised in the next week when, as people see manifestos coming out, and we're beginning to see the shape of those manifestos bit by bit. And I suppose one of the things that comes with pensions costs like that is that we know that Ireland has an ageing population, a lot more people that are moving into retirement, but also living longer in retirement, which is great, but it has costs for the system in terms of healthcare and pensions. And on the numbers, it looks like Ireland could be moving from five workers for every pensioner in the 2000s, which was a situation we got used to and having a very young country, down to about 3.5 workers for every pensioner now. But the next government could see that falling further again to about three workers for every pensioner by the end of its term. And with that is going to come this kind of rise in costs. And we know what they will look like, but they're probably not being factored into a lot of the promises that are being made.
So would you be in favour of pension payments keeping up with inflation? And is it anything above that that you've concerns about?
We wouldn't really have an issue with it. I guess it's an expected cost that we should think should be baked in. You know, otherwise, a lot of these things like, say, public sector pay, pensions, welfare payments, if they're not tied to some kind of measure of prices or wages, then you're going to see relative value of those things diminish. In other words, they won't be able to buy as much with their regular payments as they would, given the rise in prices that we expect. And the amounts are substantial. So if you look at, say, if the government stuck to a spending rule, a lot like the last government said it would, then that would probably give the next government about $7.5 billion every year to play with for budgetary measures. But if you look at the aging and just the rise in costs of buying goods and services, that'll eat up $2.5 billion of that. So you're moving down to about $5 billion. There's also lots of commitments for capital projects already underway or planned or promised. That means another $1.5 billion down. So you're left with about $3.5 billion then per annum. And out of that, if you just indexed or linked welfare, pensions and pay of the public sector to general wage increases in the population, you'd eat up most of that $3.5 billion that's left, leaving only about $500 million. So there's big questions.
So if you're intending or your desire is to go into government after the next election, you can't afford to be promising €12 per year to pensioners.
Yeah, I think you could afford it, but the question is, what are the plans around maintaining those costs for every single line area? And what we'd like to see is, you know, the next government start with a sensible rule, number step one, to make more realistic budgets for things like healthcare, which we haven't seen in recent years. You know, there's been a lot of ceilings that have been kind of a ceiling that says, we expect you as a healthcare system to stick to this, even though it's not matching the rise in costs if you were to just stand still and deal with, you know, more older people, rising prices. And then the third thing is that you look at the gap after assessing those realistic plans, you look at what a sensible rule would give you, and then see what the gap is and decide, do you need big reforms in healthcare spending and how you're using that? Do you need reforms to how you're using housing spending? Because Ireland is a big spender in both of those areas already, but most people know that we're probably not getting a lot of value for that.
Mm-hmm. So because of this aging population, we're going to have a significant additional health spend, and you're saying you need to account for that. There's also going to be additional costs in housing. We know a lot of money has been spent on housing at the moment, but it's not enough because the output needs to go up. So you're saying factor in all of those and then see what you have left in the kitty, sticking to your spending rule.
Exactly. And then I suppose the last piece of the puzzle is the green transition, which not a lot of parties are talking about. And we know there are big charges coming down the tracks for Ireland. So Ireland is probably the fourth from bottom in terms of the league table of who's meeting their EU requirements on the green transition. Two of the countries down there are Italy and Germany, who are massive countries with huge resources compared to Ireland. And because they're probably going to hoover up the credits that are available from overperformers in meeting targets, that means that Ireland will have to find some way to buy compliance if it doesn't hit its targets. But, and that could be really, really eye-watering sums.
But Eddie, you know how this goes at election time. Promises are made, then the government settles in, reality takes over, and other spending priorities are identified and pursued. I mean, should you pay much heed to this promise?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So, I mean, in an ideal world, you know, you'd like to see an economy that run things a bit like what they do in the Netherlands, where you have, you know, very serious discussions in advance of the election about, you know, what are the manifestos. In the Netherlands, the Dutch CPB would cost all of these manifestos for every party and say this is how much it would actually cost. And you'd like to see a bodies in Ireland, the PBO being one that would be a good candidate to do this, do that type of work. And then also marrying that with what we think is, you know, the type of resources they'll have if they were to stick to a spending rule. And then you'd have a better picture for voters. You know, going into the election, you could say, right, are they just making promises that they might not be able to follow through on? Or is this a set of plans that we can realistically expect to see over the next 5 years, depending on who we vote in?
Now, the political parties will tell us that they have their plans costed and independently costed. And in some cases, they will go to the Department of Finance and they'll ask them to take a look over it. That's not enough, are you saying?
It could be a way more advanced. So we see some of the costings being done, but it lacks things like, you know, simply increasing it for the rise in prices over time, for the numbers of people that would be drawing on those payments that they promise, for things like behavioural changes. So if you increase taxes, is everyone going to, you know, act as they did before, or will it mean that the tax base changes? A lot of the work that is done elsewhere isn't being done in Ireland, and it could be a lot more advanced.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Eddie Casey. Thank you for joining us on the programme.